And the reading today is from the book of Proverbs that we've been following. And on page 637, chapter 3, verse 13. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. By wisdom, the earth's foundations, by understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the deeps were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Tamara. So yes, we're continuing a little journey through the early chapters of the book of Proverbs. And we have the second, I'm going to call it a speech from Lady Wisdom, though in fact it's not Lady Wisdom herself talking to us, but someone explaining what she's like. So it's in the third person rather than the first person today. But we have some more information about this slightly mysterious character that we are to look for and seek with all our hearts. And the section that Tamara read began with some words that are very common words in the Old Testament and which Jesus himself echoed in what we call the Beatitudes. The passage began with these words, blessed is the man, or in Hebrew, if I can manage to say it, Ashrei ha'ish asher. And that little phrase occurs, I don't know how many times in the Old Testament. Psalm 1, the very first psalm, begins exactly like that. Blessed is the man who... And you can find that little saying occurring again and again in the Old Testament. And Jesus, of course, took something like that very much on his lips at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount when he said, blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Based on that same idea, the wisdom idea that you are blessed, your life is good if you do it God's way. So that's what we're thinking about today. And really, it reads a bit like a sales pitch, I think, doesn't it? Wisdom is better than silver, better than gold, more precious than rubies. She gives long life, and there's nothing more desirable than her. It's quite an advert, isn't it? Here is something so worth having, you should sacrifice everything else to get her. It reminds me of Jesus' parable of the pearl of great price. When a merchant found this pearl, which was inexplicably buried in a field, he went and sold all he possessed and bought the field. And of course, the pearl with it. So, gain wisdom rather than anything else you could seek after. And then it goes on to say, her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. I wonder, can you think of a walk that you've gone on that's really attractive? Just the look of the path is beautiful. Maybe it's the views you see as you pass along. Maybe it's the lovely plants and flowers that line the routes. Maybe it's just the shape of the curves and the winding routes that lies ahead of you that tells you this is going to be good. You got a favourite walk that you go back to again and again? Well, there's pleasure every time, where the going is easy and pleasant and a sense of peace comes over you as you walk along. How lovely it is to go on your favourite walk. And so wisdom's ways are going with the grain, not grinding against it. Wisdom's ways are akin to using a system's design to do work that would be impossible to achieve by brute force alone, like using a lever to move a heavy load. Suddenly that hard thing becomes easy. You have a sense of flow. This is the way that things were meant to be. And when life is like that, isn't it good? Isn't it blessed? Isn't it joyful? Verse 18 sums it up in an evocative image. Wisdom is a tree of life to all who take hold of her. Tree of life. We've heard that before, haven't we? Back in the garden, there were two trees, and humanity chose to eat from the wrong one. We chose to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and so set up our own wisdom as a rival to God's wisdom. But we never got the chance to eat from the tree of life because humanity was banished from the garden of delight and sent out to make our way by the sweat of our brow, with thorns and thistles growing instead of good fruit. So rather than that easy going with the flow, when God told Adam what was going to be in front of him, he said, "It's going to be hard labor for you, because you've chosen your wisdom, not mine." That hard labor is the very opposite of her ways are pleasant and her paths are peace, isn't it? But the tree of life does pop up again and again through the pages of the Bible. It occurs here and later in Proverbs. There's a proverb that says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and the one who is wise saves lives." It appears in Ezekiel's vision of the river flowing out from the temple, bringing life everywhere it goes. And there's the tree growing by the banks of the river, never withering, giving fruit to all. And then finally, the tree appears again in Revelation, more fruitful than ever, bearing fruit every month, and its leaves bring healing to the nations. The message is clear, isn't it? If you want to live a good and fruitful life, then take hold of Lady Wisdom. Walk her paths. Don't let go of her hand. And you will want for nothing. And then finally, at the end of the passage, a new idea is introduced that will be developed next time we meet Lady Wisdom. By her, all things were made. Look at verse 19. "By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the depths were divided and the clouds let drop the dew." Three words there. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. In Hebrew, it's chokmah, Tavun and Da'as. Shrewdness, intelligence, and skill might be alternative translations for those words. And where do we usually go to get those things? Well, we go to a wise teacher, I suppose. We would learn from experience. Or we would practice and hone our skills. Such things are good, but better than these, more desirable, more reliable, is that which is in the lady's gift. Imagine an invisible creative force in the universe that can guide people in how they should live. You can't see it, just like you can't see gravity, but it affects everything that we do. That's wisdom, chokhmah. It's an attribute of God that God used when he created the universe. And chokhmah has been woven into the fabric of things and how they work. So wherever people are making good or just or wise decisions, they're tapping into wisdom, chokhmah. And now imagine that this invisible force isn't some impersonal thing like magnetism that just exists. Imagine instead that it's a being, a person, and that you can have a relationship with her. She can be your friend and your guide through life. And if you want to live the good life, if you want to be blessed, there's no better way than to make her acquaintance. Amen.